Breaking news,
and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why. It's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
And welcome again to the Expressway. I am Charles Show Me the Way here with the BT Express. Billy telling you we're here for another great, exciting week of NFL football, New York Giants, New York Jets, and the rest of the world of sports. Lots going on this week. Obviously, our two New York teams have disappointed us once again. They do a good job of getting our hopes up, being in a playoff run, and then having them quickly dashed away. The Tommy DeVito story, was it short-lived? Is it over? Did that flame die out? Did the 2 minutes of fame disappear? We are waiting to see. It doesn't look good this week because they play the Philadelphia Eagles. We will get into that and more. But BT, what do you say about these New York teams?
Well, see, the thing for me is that, you know, everybody has injuries, and the Giants are using it more as an excuse than anybody. And I don't know if Danny Jones would have done any better, but Danny DeVito looked like he tried to improve a little bit. I think that he's thinking more about commercials with his dad, and he should be concentrating on football. So that's the thing that kind of gets me. It's almost like a Baker Mayfield doing those Prudential commercials before he scored his first touchdown. So I think as a matter of fact, I got something yesterday where it says he was supposed to go to some pizza place and they offered him $10,000 to go. And then after he'd been starting, they upped his agent, said, we want $20,000. So they canceled him out. And I said, that's too deep. If you're the quarterback of the Giants and you're not the main guy right away, you need to be concentrated totally on your job. And he's up there giving an Italian wave sign to the crowd. So I just don't know what to think about that, because success comes because if you win. Success doesn't come because of how many engagements you do off the field.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think you kind of see with his agent how much experience his agent has with the fame. Obviously, he deals with these lower end guys who probably never reach the fame that either you or I have ever had. Even then, that's at a minimum standard, let alone someone of the ilk of an NFL quarterback that's starting in the NFL like Tommy DeVito is. And so he's made a number of mistakes. All of the sports talk radio shows in the New York area was talking about, had brought up the incident about him not going to the appearance at the pizza shop, which just makes you look bad. It puts a bad name or bad reputation on your name, and it damages your brand. And think about this. You know, I'm not young. I know all these other kids got TikTok, Instagram. You make money just doing Instagram, TikTok. You can make more money than doing a $10,000 appearance. So why not focus on social media? Why not focus getting your brand out that way instead of focusing on doing these appearances? $10,000 back in our day, I guess that's chump change nowadays. But I would probably love $10,000 in my pocket. Especially at my time at DeVito, where my salary is probably $80,000, right? You're not making a ton of money as a practice squad player. Now that he's on the roster, he's making a little bit more money. But think about all of that stuff. Think about all of the stuff that he's gone through just to get to this point, and just to have your name and your brand tarnished by doing something like that. It just doesn't look good.
Well, the thing that kind of irks me, to be honest with you, is his agent. His agent looks inexperienced, and that's the thing you don't want. And the thing about it is that you weren't a draft pick, and you came on the practice squad, you played the preseason, and then all of a sudden you got an agent that's sticking out in the crowd. I'm trying to figure, what are you looking at? Because that could be a turnoff for a lot of people. Turnoff for the Giants, turnoff for other teams, because you think about it, the agent comes in, he represents you. You need to do your job. And so I don't think that Danny DeVito has done what he should be doing at this time, because if he had won four in a row, you don't know what would have happened in New York. I mean, they may have offered him keys to New York City. So that's why I don't know. But then again, his agent, and I know I don't mean to say anything bad. He just don't look like he's credible. He don't look like if he said something, I would believe it. And that's the scary part for me, because image and the first impression that people get are what people think and see. So the first impression they get is your agent wearing them crazy hats and, you know, bright green shirts, and especially in New Orleans, you know, that's what I don't understand.
Yeah, it would have been nice for him just to focus on football, understanding that these are probably the four toughest weeks of his entire NFL life.
Absolutely.
Going against the Saints, who has probably one of the top rated defenses in the NFL, going against the Philadelphia Eagles twice, and you're in the playoff hunt before last week. So any other thing on your mind is pretty much irrelevant to me, because look, I have a chance to make my season. People are talking about me actually having a chance to be the next starting quarterback of the New York Giants in 2024. So all of the other noise outside of me getting better, looking good, so that this team can have confidence in me, at least putting me in the conversation with the competition with Daryl Jones in 2024. That's what I want, because guess what? Quarterbacks, as we saw last year, as he can see probably a couple of lockers down from him, Daniel Jones just made $49 million. He robbed a bank without wearing a ski mask. So you tell me, am I totally off base? Am I too old?
You're robbing a bank without a ski mask. Okay. That's a bad dude. See, my thing too comes down to, you know, he's enjoying the 15 minutes of fame that he's getting, but he's not doing what he should be doing. If you think about it, quarterbacks should be coming in early, staying late, don't have time for nothing. Not time for your girlfriend, barely have time for your family. But the question I have for you, Charles, is that, do you think because he went to high school in New Jersey and he knows everybody in New Jersey, he's living at home, do you think that hurts him or helps him?
I think if you're not grounded and you don't have the right people around you, it can cause distractions. I'm hoping, it seems like he's the type of guy that can handle all of the noise in his life. I hope. I just think it's the people around him that are actually getting more attention than actually he is, to be perfectly honest. You see the agent. The agent, if you Google the agent's name or agent of Tommy DeVito, his name, his face pops up everywhere. You look at his family, Tommy DeVito's dad, they've been talking about them. And you know what? It's not even about, and I don't even think it's Tommy DeVito's parents that's causing it. It's everybody else in the New York area that's making it a story, because the Giants are so bad this year that they're looking for something to grab on. They're looking for hope, and Tommy DeVito is that hope.
Well, if you were in the same position as his parents, you know, what would you do differently? Because, you know, you have to support your son. You got to cheer him on. They know the camera's on them all the time. They've seen it for a couple games. And then you see that agent that looks like he does. I don't know what I would do, because, you know, it just seems like he's taken away from his concentration on a game that he may not have another chance on. I don't see him, and I'm looking at people say, well, is Tommy DeVito a starting quarterback in the NFL? I don't think so. He improved every game he did, but against the Saints, he went back to what he does best, which is really not knowing where to throw the ball.
Exactly, and I told you last week, these next 4 weeks are going to tell me a lot about Tommy DeVito. It'll tell us if he's real or if he's just that backup quarterback that's going to be a career-long backup quarterback in the NFL. He's shown that he can play. He's won more games than Mike Glennon. And Mike Glennon played how many years? 12, 13 years in the NFL, right? And he's won more games than Mike Glennon than he's done in his entire 12 or 13-year career. So when you look at all of that, he does have a career in the NFL as a backup if he wants it. It's just doing it the right way. But just think about this. When you look at the Giants and you look at how they need to prepare for next year, and they're going to have a pretty high draft choice, top 10 pick, do you see how much parent and family plays a role. Look at, and we talked about Caleb Williams a few weeks ago, how he ran into the stands and cried on his parents' shoulders.
Yeah.
Do you see the family having more of an impact on a player's career now than it was in the past? Because now the family is making money while they're in college, right? At one time they had to wait, so they couldn't be parasites and couldn't cling on to you because there wasn't nothing to cling on to. But now in college, Caleb Williams is probably making $5 to $10 million a year on just endorsements. So when you look at what players are making now in college, what's the impact of that when they get to the NFL?
Well, that's a great point too, Charles. But I think that it should enable them to stay in college longer, because it's been proven that if a quarterback stays 4 or 5 years, he comes to the NFL more experienced, knowing how to do things and more polished. And see, that's the thing that kind of worries me. But the thing that they're paying the college athletes, I guess it would make their parents be a little different too, because, you know, when I first came in the NFL, and I'm sure when you came in, I had relatives come out of the woodwork that I had never heard of that wanted me to give them money. And that kind of surprised me, because I don't know your name, but you want some money. And the thing about it now is that they can start putting themselves on a budget, learning how to do it if they do it correctly in college. I can't even imagine, you know, making some money like that in college, because I was not mature enough to handle it. And I think football is a different sport than basketball and baseball, because I think football, the more mature you are, the better athlete that you can become.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think it's a new era and a whole bunch of things. And branding yourself, how do you make money off the field? Because that's what people are doing. You see it more and more in games where it used to just be, I'm just going to talk to the coach. Now they're trying to talk to players in game. And so you got the age of Mic'd Up, you got the age of Hard Knocks and all of these different shows that's trying to bring the fan in more into the locker room. It could cause, if you're not grounded, it can cause a lot of distractions for a team and players.
Well, one thing that I've made note of in the last couple of years, even when I...
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
Go somewhere and I talk to other athletes or college students or wherever I go. People worry about going to a Division III school, a Division II school, a Division I school. As long as you get to a school, you got a chance. Because with ESPN and Fox TV, if you score a three-point basket from half court, if you score a nice touchdown, they will get it on the NFL films. As a matter of fact, today I was watching Chad Hennings of the Jets. His son is playing for some off-brand Division III school, but he threw a touchdown pass, so ESPN had him on. And that's what I think nowadays you got to realize. As long as you get into school somewhere, you have a chance to show your true star and become the person that you want to be. You don't always have to go to the big schools to do it because of the social media.
Yeah, and you look at what the XFL, the USFL are doing, you have more opportunities to showcase your talent at a professional level. So even if you do go to a Division III school or a two school, you still have another opportunity. If it's not the NFL, you have these other football professional football leagues that are out there that can allow you to show the NFL that you are capable of playing at that level. So there are a lot of opportunities. I think is more important for guys now, especially today, to pay attention to what they want their brand to be and how they want to utilize that brand to make the money that they can make off the field. The other thing that I wanted to ask you, so I'm looking at YouTube, trying to go through our show, trying to critique our show, and I see some old football games when I played back in the day, right? and so I got to ask you this question, because I'm very it's bothering me right now. I I played 40 to 50 times a game and they gave me the ball. So I was running the ball. So after I ran for 50 yards, I didn't run off to the sideline raising my hand and say, come and get me, right? I still stayed on the field dying half the, like I was about darn near out of breath. And I'm still playing. I'm going 12 to 13 to 15 plays after a 50 yard run. And lo and behold, mostly every running back I see now, they run. I mean, they only end for one play. They run 50 yards and you see their hand raise up and say, hey, come and get me. I'm like, what is going on? Is it preservation? So they're really making millions of dollars, $100,000 a carry, right? $50,000 a carry. What is going on here? Because for me, I don't understand today's running back.
No, I'm with you on that because when I played, if you run out to the sideline, you had to take a hit before you went out of bounds. You can't just run out of bounds. That's what I did one time. The coach yelled at me like I had stole something. So I see Saquon Barkley, he'll have a nice run, then he'll go to the sideline. And maybe that's his new way of dealing with his situation with the money because he can't do anything about it. So he's going to give him less effort or left. You can't really give less effort, but maybe, getting the rest when he probably wouldn't do it before. I know I carried the ball probably against the Redskins like 13 or 14 times in a row. And the coaches kept giving it to me and I was tired as heck, but I wasn't coming out.
That's right. And you know, we need to still talk about the Jets and we're going to talk about the Jets and Zach Wilson. Obviously he's in concussion protocol. We don't know if he's going to be able to play this week. So that's another story, but we got a lot more to talk about. I know we were supposed to be talking about the Jets and the Dolphins, but that was such a terrible game. Why talk about that? I love the conversation we're having. Hold on to your hats. We'll be right back in just a minute after a word from our sponsors to talk more about the Jets, talk more about the Giants, and if the running backs of today are not the same as they were back in the day with Barry Sanders and Walter Payton. We'll be right back. And welcome back to the Expressway. You're watching us live on alumnimedia.com each and every Wednesday from 10:15 to 11:15. Check us out on YouTube on every Friday starting at 9 a.m. You'll catch our videos always on Friday. They from the previous week's show, always Friday at 9 a.m. They are uploaded to the YouTube. Check us out each and every week. We are talking all things sports. We break us up in the four quarters, talking about Giants, Jets, anything and everything that's on our mind in the third quarter. And we will do our pick selections each and every week. BT is kicking my butt a little bit on the picks, and we'll be doing that in the fourth quarter. But we were just talking about the state of the NFL, state of the Tommy DeVito clan, as well as anything and everything about this, the new age running back and BT. And I won't beat this drum anymore.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
But after watching those tapes and how many plays I played, because I thought I was had CTE there for a little bit and I forgot how many plays I played consecutively, and I had to recall all of that, and I did. Do you think that the running back today will ever be the same as the running back yesterday, or the game today will ever be the same as yesterday? I know it's a little different. I know they tried to take the physicality out of the game a little bit just to make it safer, but given all of that, shouldn't running backs be playing more snaps?
Well, not even a question. I was with O.J. Anderson, the most valuable player of the Super Bowl for the Giants, this past week. And he was talking about how the running back gets no respect. And they were talking about all the things that a running back does. You know, he's got to, and I look at different games, he's got to block the safety, and he's the last man between him and the him and getting to the quarterback. He's got to block, sometimes he's got to block the linebacker at the end. You got to go out on pass routes. You got to read the coverage. And plus, you got to run the ball, and everybody's trying to kill you. As a matter of fact, I remember running some game, and somebody's yelling, kill him, kill him. And it took me a while to realize they were talking about me. And so I think that it's one of the toughest positions in football. But I do think this, CW, I do believe that the running back is going to come back, is going to make a comeback, because people are realizing now that you got to have a good one in the fourth quarter. If you don't, you lose games. And I think that they're going to come back to that. I think the NFL will change eventually and go back to the running back, because you see quarterbacks now that are out. There's like six or seven starting quarterbacks that are out. You know, they talk about the running back being hurt and all that, but, you know, the guy Robinson of Atlanta, he still was a first-round draft choice and is showing that he's worthy of it. So I just think the running back is coming back, and I think eventually they're going to get what they deserve because they're too valuable to a team if you're winning.
Yeah, I think that because of what Christian McCaffrey is doing and how he is such a big part of what San Francisco does, and how, and he literally, they can't take him off the field because they miss an explosive piece to their game.
Yep.
And I think he's one of the running backs that actually doesn't come off the field if he doesn't have to. That's what I want to see Saquon become. I think that's what I think when he was coming out of Penn State, I thought that's the type of running back we would get. We were going to get someone like Christian McCaffrey, who never came off the field, who was a part of all aspects of the offense, and teams had to game plan against him and kind of opened up everything else. And you see how when you take McCaffrey out of their offense, it's a really a different offense. Look at what that happens when they take Deebo Samuels out of their offense. It's a different game. So I think because of what McCaffrey is doing, he is bringing the running back, the importance of a good running back back. Look at Bijan Robinson, I'm sorry, from the Atlanta Falcons. I think he could be a similar type player in that respect, but I think we still got to get back to the run game. We got to, you know, I was looking at that same tape. I think we ran the ball. Obviously, we didn't have a great quarterback in those days, but we ran the ball, good Lord, 30 to 40 times a game.
Let's see, the thing about that, there's so many good things when you run the ball. It allows your defense to rest, come in well rested. It allows your offense to take its time going down the field. The offensive linemen, and it took me a while to realize it, they would rather run block than pass block. It's easier. You just come off the ball and man on man on. So I just think that they're going to get back to that point because, you know, and I looked at the NFL, it's been around since 1925. You know, the Giants came around 1925. They've gone through running periods. They've gone through passing game. They had the San Diego Chargers with Eric Coryell coming in, putting the passing game back on the map. These last few years, the passing game has come back. But it's been proven that if you can run the ball, then you can win the game if your quarterback doesn't make a mistake and you guys don't turn the ball over. So I have hope. I really do. And with Christian McCaffrey doing what he's doing, he's going to continue to be the highest paid running back, and he's going to get paid. I think eventually they're going to have to pay Saquon if he stays healthy. So I just think these guys, and then the guy for New Orleans, the running back, what's his name for New Orleans? The running back?
Kamara.
Yeah, Kamara. I think he's one of the top five in the NFL also, because if he gets a hole, he's never stopped. So I just think the valuable running backs are going to always be that. It's just that the ownership has got to come out, because you're paying somebody like Dexter Lawrence, who's a great defensive tackle inside. But if you didn't know the game, you wouldn't even know he was playing. And so the thing about it, he's getting over 20-something million, and I don't think he deserves more than Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think when you look at what the Houston Texans are doing, what you look at the Tennessee Titans have done with Derrick Henry and how they play a game, especially when you don't have a great quarterback. Look at what – and I think the reason why San Francisco is having such success is because not only – they have dynamic players all over the field at all four positions. They got a wide receiver, they got a tight end, and they got a running back that are explosive and dynamite and probably the top 20 or top 50 players in the entire NFL. When you have people that dynamic at those three positions, you should be good. And you don't need a great quarterback. As we saw, Brock Purdy is a good quarterback, maybe not a great quarterback, because when you don't have those types of weapons, you become average. And it's nice to set yourself up having people around you. So that's why I'm so impressed with what, even though the Texans have some great young talent, you can't compare the Houston Texans team to the offense of the San Francisco 49ers and those in that group over there. And look at what Tennessee has done. They've run the ball. They've done a great job managing games and being in games because they were able to run the ball. You look at the team. I bring up our 1997 team. We did not have a great team. We had a great defense. We did not have a great offense. We had good receivers. We didn't have great receivers. But we were undefeated in the division because we played a certain way where we didn't make too many mistakes, and we were able to control the ball by running the ball and had a good run game. And I think teams need to start rethinking the fact that you can't always just drop back and throw the ball 50 times a game, because that's not how you're going to win each and every game out.
And every time you throw the ball, you have a chance for interception. You have a chance for a sack. There's more bad things that can happen when you pass the ball than when you run the ball. I still believe that the NFL as a whole is going to get back to that running game, because when you go into inclement weather, you can't throw the ball. I mean, I was looking at the Green Bay quarterback against the Giants. He had a bad day, Love did, and the Giants end up winning the game, I think, because of the elements. And I think on Sunday, Seattle won a game because of the elements. When you're in the elements, you got to run the ball. You can't pass the ball when the wind is like it is. I think back in the early day when Bill Parcells was there, he and Phil Simms would look at the opening to that gate back there, and when they opened it, the wind would blow in. And they closed it would close out the wind. And I thought that really helped Phil Simms and the Giants tremendously, because that was a home field advantage. And so I think that if you run the ball, you can control things a lot better and you have a better chance of winning. I know people want to put points on the board, and that's their thing, is to see the highest scoring points. We saw the Dolphins score 70 this year and Buffalo score 50 and a lot of things like that. Oh, somebody got 63 last week. So I just think that, in order to combat that stuff, you got to be able to control the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, I totally agree. And that's what troubles me about the New York Jets. When you have a good coaching staff, you actually tailor, and we talked about this on a number of occasions, you tailor your game plan to the talent you have on that field at that given time. And for them not to put a better product on the field last week after coming off of a great game, that's game planning. That's not being prepared. And you can't put that all on the shoulders of the players. Some of it has to fall on the coaching staff, because they weren't ready for that game, especially still having an opportunity to make the playoffs. So that's a little upsetting to me, that when you're on the precipice of potentially knocking off the number one team in your division, setting yourself up even in a better position to get into the playoffs, and you don't come out ready and not score a point, that's disappointing.
Well, I think that, okay, I watched Trevor Lawrence of the Jacksonville Jaguars. He was going up playing last week. He was getting rid of the ball in almost less than 2 seconds. And because the Baltimore Ravens had a great pass rush this year, their sacks are up. You had to do that. I don't understand why other quarterbacks don't do that. I watched Zach and people said, well, you can't blame Zach. Yes, I can. If he's not getting rid of the ball in 2 seconds because he knows his offensive line is not that great, that's his fault. For him to take the sack, that's his fault. The big guy, Becton, is that his name? The big old offensive tackle, left tackle for the Jets?
Mekhi Becton.
He's pathetic. I mean, I watched him get beat with the little old guy, look like a little teeny football player, beat him up and down like he was a puppet. And I just can't believe it, because if you're that big and you're not playing well, I would get the heck out of the game and stop stealing money, because as many times as he got beat, he should be in the hospital.
Yeah, no, you are absolutely right about that. As much as he's gotten beat, and that brings up my second question, is like, when you're the Jets, do you continue to pour money or pour draft picks into the offensive line, or do you look for another quarterback of the future? Obviously, Zach Wilson will have these good and bad games, and maybe it's the Geno Smith syndrome. You just need to mature, become older, and have the right offensive coordinator that understands your ability and will put you in positions to be successful and not fail.
Well, people tell me that he's had so many offensive coordinators in so many years. I don't think that matters. I think the matter is going to be he's got to make image. He's got to mature his game to taking what the defense gives you. And if your offensive line is not doing as well as they should, you need to make the adjustment from a quarterback position. Zach Wilson has disappointed me because he'll have one good game and then four bad ones. And then people say, well, he's a good quarterback. He's got potential to be in the NFL if he gets away from New York. I don't think so. This is his third season. He's got to show me something. Or why would the Jets want to keep him around next year when Aaron Rodgers is there and then the year after? Aaron says he wants to play two more years minimum into his 40s. So that leaves a backup quarterback. And is Zach Wilson the answer? I don't think so, Charles Way.
Yeah, and before we go into our break, I have one question for you because – you know, we talk about Aaron Rodgers and we talk about him coming back next year. But my question is.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia.
Aaron, you can't be so tied to a coach because of a player, because obviously he has, I mean, Aaron Rodgers made, don't you think Aaron Rodgers made Nathaniel Hackett? Aaron Rodgers
absolutely.
Made everybody that he's coached, right? And so he's that coach that has coached him. So why are you beholden to a coaching staff or a coordinator because of Aaron Rodgers? If Aaron Rodgers is a Hall of Famer like everyone says he is, he should be able to adapt to any system and roll with any system. I just don't think, and he's showing it, that Nathaniel Hackett is a great coordinator, and he's causing the Jets to possibly have two more bad seasons.
Well, see, the thing about it is that when Aaron Rodgers comes in, you kind of got to kiss his behind. You got to do whatever he wants because he's the guy, the $50 million player who's supposed to bring you to another level of performance. The defense of the Jets is not playing well. And when they make a mistake, the offense, you know, gets even a worse situation. I just think that that you can't do anything about the coaching staff on the Jets, and you have to wait until Aaron either fails or does good, and then you decide what you're going to do. But this year is a pass for the whole coaching staff because Aaron was not there. And I think Aaron would be mad if they, you know, when he gets mad, look how he did at Green Bay. He wanted to get out of there. Now he's here. He's happy. He's going out to Taylor Swift's concerts and hockey games and enjoying New York. So I just think that they got to please him, and the coaching staff is going to stay at a minimum of 1 year.
I'm still a little hesitant on that, but I will come back after the break and talk to you more about not only the playoff situation, but if Aaron Rodgers should even play this year. Obviously, they took him off the injury reserve list. He's getting ready to come back. But since they're not playing for anything, should he even play? That and more when we return after a word from our sponsors.
And we call this the Expressway. Billy Taylor and Charles Way coming to you live. And we're on YouTube on Fridays at 9 a.m. talking the world of sports. We do it in four quarters. Our first two quarters were the Jets and the Giants. Now we're talking about around the NFL, some things about that. And Charles, a lot of people are talking about the MVP vote. And there's a lot of people coming up for it. I first of all thought that the receiver for the Miami Dolphins, Ty Hill. I thought he was the best I have ever seen, because I was wondering, how does he get those deep passes all the time when teams know he's coming? The reason is because he runs a great route. He runs a short route over the middle, knows what he's doing, and then when he has a chance to go deep, him and Tua are on the same page. And I thought he should be one of the MVPs. Give me another one in your thought process.
Yeah, everybody's saying Brock Purdy should be an MVP, but when you look at what he's done when his talented three were all off the field at the same time, he was just an average quarterback. He didn't elevate his game. He didn't elevate the players around him. When you look at what Patrick Mahomes has done, that's an MVP type of quarterback. No matter who he has, Kadarius Toney, I need to say no more. No matter who he has around him, he elevates the players around him. He still gives his chance, his team a chance to win. And so you can look at Brock Purdy. I was hoping if Tyreek Hill didn't get hurt, he had a chance. He still probably still has a chance for a 2,000-yard season. First receiver ever to have a 2,000-yard season. If he gets it, given he's not playing each and every week and he gets 2,000 yards, I think he should be at the top of everyone's MVP voting. Everybody else is saying Christian McCaffrey because of his touchdown streak. It was broken 2 weeks ago, but he scored a touchdown in every game for about the past 16, 17 games he's played. And so because how important he is to their team, they put him in the category of MVP. You look at what CJ Stroud is doing. I know they're not winning, but he's a rookie. He has his team on the precipice of not only winning a division, but actually getting into the playoffs. So you got a young guy like that. I'm not saying he can win it, but you have a young guy like that. I just don't know. And look at what Patrick Mahomes is still doing. He's not having a great year, but if you're putting Brock Purdy in the MVP conversation, you still got to put Patrick Mahomes in the MVP conversation. So when you look at just teams with good records, the Miami Dolphins, Tyreek Hill, I don't see anybody else on the Dolphins worthy of that because Tyreek Hill has been so explosive. San Francisco 49ers, we just talked about it. Brock Purdy, Christian McCaffrey. But outside of Patrick Mahomes, who else would you consider?
Well, see, the thing for me is that Chris McCaffrey and Brock Purdy, they may cancel each other out because somebody might get more votes for this guy and that guy, which would take him away from the MVP, which could be either McCaffrey or Purdy. And I totally agree with you on that. I think Lamar Jackson is having a season. He's 11 and 3, and he's got more touchdown passes than he's ever had, and they have a chance to represent the AFC. No. Why do you disagree?
No, you know who he is. He's my Joel Embiid. he is my Joel Embiid. That you know, Lamar Jackson is Joel Embiid's football's version of Joel Embiid. He looks like the best player. He looks like better than Lawrence Taylor. I mean, he's Johnny Unitas reincarnated. You put them all together during the season, 17 weeks. He is the greatest thing in the NFL has ever seen. But when the playoffs comes around, oh my God. He shouldn't even be on the same field as everybody else. And so that's why I'm saying until he gets to a Super Bowl and wins, until he gets to a Super Bowl, right? And I'm not even saying win. Just get out of the AFC championship game. Just like Joel Embiid. Just get out of the second round of the playoffs, right? You get out of the second round of the playoffs, people are going to start talking about you differently. But until you do something when it counts, I can't say anything good about you right now.
Well, I agree with you also, but this year he's having a good year and he just signed that new contract, so he's living up to it. People talk about Josh Allen of Buffalo. His turnover ratio is not even in contention for MVP, but the way he played last week and didn't throw many passes or didn't throw for more yardage, but he took what the defense gave him and led his team. And then they talk about Dak Prescott before they lost last week. People talk about him definitely being the MVP, but if you look at the game, when the Cowboys get in clutch situations against good teams, they don't come through, which I'm happy about because they're not going to be in the NFC Championship because of San Francisco. They could get beat by Detroit. I'm hoping Philadelphia gets its game in order. But I just think Cowboys are not even in the first couple picks because the 49ers, and I agree with you, are the best team in football. But what do you think about Dak Prescott?
After last week's game, Dallas, I'm glad I'm not a Dallas fan because that would be frustrating to be a fan. They get your hopes up and then they diminish them. That's like being an Eagles fan. You know, Philly fans in general in all sports, right? They because they've been so disappointed so many times. Whenever something bad does happen, it's the worst. They already expected it. They can't wait till the worst thing to happen, because this little mini slump that the Eagles are on, they want to fire the entire team. And speaking of, we're supposed to be getting to the playoff picture. We'll get into the playoff picture right next. But tell me if something is wrong about this. If Philadelphia Eagles head coach, right, Nick Sirianni, replaces their defensive coordinator with Matt Patricia. First of all, the same dude that won two games with the Detroit Lions,
yeah,
and is won two games in two years with the Detroit Lions. And then it's not like he was blowing things away when he was with the Patriots. They weren't one of the top 10 defenses in the NFL with the Patriots. So you replace a team, you were 10 and 3 when you replaced them. 10 and 3. You lost three games. So the defense must not have been too bad.
Well, see, my thing is that he was, after he left Detroit, he went back to New England and became an offensive coach, which he had never done in his life, and messed up Matt Jones, the quarterback for Alabama. And I think that was one of Bill Belichick's worst moves as a head coach, is to bring the former Giant coach, Joe, what's Joe's last name? You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. And then the new coach, Pat, the guy from New England and Detroit. And I just think he had a bad combination. And that goes on Bill Belichick. And maybe that's why they're so bad this year, because his decision-making is not up to par. And Patricia is not an NFL coach. He's not a defensive or offensive coordinator. His claim to fame is because of the way he runs the defense. But I'm not seeing that with Philadelphia. I think he's bringing them down.
Yeah, and so that's why I'm upset. Why make that's like desperation. You're 10 and 3. And a desperation move is you change the coordinator in a game you think you should win, and they lose still. So whose fault is it now? Is it, let's put it on Jalen Hurts' lap because he threw an interception in the game? So when you look at the Philadelphia Eagles situation and we're going around the league, I think that Nick Sirianni is playing scared a little bit, playing a little nervous, playing or coaching tighter than he should be, instead of relaxing, just trusting the process, trusting what they've done over the past couple of times. I think he's letting the press, and Philly press is just as bad as New York. Yep. You look at Boston, New York, and Philly, probably worst media markets to play or coach in. If you're either of those people, because you have so many people covering you. And so I think he succumbed to the noise in the background. What do you think?
I definitely agree. But when you've been to the Super Bowl before, and usually when a team gets there and loses, it's really harder for them to get back. And so a lot of people are surprised that they came this far. I think they need to correct their mistakes. And Patricia made a bad move in the game the other night because he played man coverage one of the last plays of the game, and that's how they got beat deep. And I don't understand you as a coach putting your players in that position when you could have easily been man underneath or zone on top of the two safeties. And I just think he made some bad moves, and that should show you right then and there, I would get rid of him, because he's only been there for a couple of weeks. And you make that kind of moves, it's time for you to go.
Yeah, I think that whole situation is a little tough. Now, let's turn our attention to the playoff picture. I want to take a look at the NFC standings, especially after this past week's game and how it impacts what the picture looks like and who's in, who's out, who's on the cusp of getting in. Obviously, 49ers, Cowboys, Lions, and the Bucks are the division leaders. That NFC South, woo! I don't know. It's like it's a toss up between the Saints and the Falcons. Whoever wins that division will come out. Who is your most surprising team in the playoffs right now?
Well, I can't say Detroit surprises me because they've been coming on for the last couple of years. I think the Bucks surprised me the most because I'm not a Baker Mayfield fan, and I think Todd Bowles, Sometimes doesn't show much concern for his offense. So they've kind of showed me something too. The Vikings have too, because they have had no quarterbacks since Cousins went down, and they're playing a lot better. I think the Cowboys are playing where they're at, and they're not going to get any further than this. I think the 49ers are the best team in football. If they don't get anybody hurt in the last 3 weeks, they're going to win the whole thing and go to the NFC Championship against somebody. So that's my menu for what's going on. I think the only team that I'm even concerned with is the Detroit Lions, because of their off 1 week, on 1 week, and they got a great coach who gets them ready to play. So that would be my team. What about you, Charles?
You know what? I've watched the Rams play the last few weeks.
Oh, yes.
And that, you know what? Quietly, they are a sneakily dangerous team.
Sneakily.
Yeah, because that almost it reminds you of the Giant, that 2007 Giants team.
Yep.
Which, you know, nobody respected. Nobody. They didn't have great players on their team, but they played together. Yep. And the Rams are, they have an explosive offense. Those receivers, that young receiver that they have there, is doing it. Their defense is playing well. I mean, that's a scary team. And you know, the Giants have to play them.
Yeah, I think it's tough because they're okay at the end of the year, and I think it was the 2007 season you mentioned. The Giants had a 9-7, I think, that year. But at the end of the year, they came on strong and got momentum, got tight, got going, and that's why they end up going to the Super Bowl. Right now, whoever gets hot in these last 3 weeks, whether it's San Francisco, Dallas, Philly, Detroit, or Minnesota, they're going to get to the Super Bowl. But you got to be hot. Right now, the hot team is San Francisco. Almost every week, we come up with a different hot team because one team loses. Cowboys lost last week. They're putting them out. So I just think these last 3 weeks are going to be so interesting, Charles. It's given us a lot of stuff to talk about, but I just think it's really going to tell you who's got momentum going toward the Super Bowl. I think the Super Bowl is February the 11th. Is that correct?
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia.
Yes. And okay. So, and then when you get to the AFC picture, when you look at the top teams, the Ravens, the Dolphins, and the Chiefs, obviously those three teams and then the Jaguars for the NFC South, when you look at those four teams, I'm not convinced that the Dolphins have a good enough defense to kind of play at a championship level. The Ravens, I'm still not sold on Lamar Jackson. They barely squeaked by. They won in overtime 2 weeks ago because of a punt return, yep. Right? And so I'm not impressed. Lamar Jackson didn't look like a great quarterback. I don't think he's a very accurate quarterback. And so if you wanted me to rank the four teams that are the division leaders that are in the playoffs right now, I'm still saying the Chiefs. I'm saying the Ravens and the Dolphins. Because I think the Ravens have a better defense than the Dolphins, and the Jaguars, because Trevor Lawrence has been dealing with a bunch of injuries. Outside of that, I think all of them should be scared of the Buffalo Bills. We're talking about a team that's hot, who's beaten two legitimate playoff teams in the past 2 weeks. The Buffalo Bills is one that I don't think anybody wants to see in the playoffs when the playoffs start.
And that's what I was going to say, because when they're on, they're hard to be beat by anybody. And I just think it's up to Josh Allen. If he doesn't, like they talk about quarterbacks managing the game and then going out and winning the game. If he manages the game like he did last week, they got a chance to make it to the Super Bowl. Their defense is playing extremely well, and I just think that their coach is a good coach. I thought he was on the verge of losing his job a couple of weeks ago, but he rallied the troops. Their running game is good. That guy Cook, man, he looked outstanding. The only thing I don't like is when you do a flip in the end zone, because you could hurt yourself. Yeah, but otherwise, the running game, the offensive line is playing well. So whoever plays Buffalo is going to have a hard task in front of them.
Yeah, and like I said, my Cinderella team, I hope they continue to do well. Hopefully they get C.J. Stroud back as a Houston Texans. I just love what D'Amico Ryans is doing with that team. They got that young – he has that young team playing hard and tough, and they're 8-6, and no one would have thought that they would be 8-6 at this point in the season. They have a couple of tough games coming up towards the end, so it may be tough for them to make the playoffs. But it would be exciting to see them make it. I just don't see them making it unless they win their division.
Well, this part of the season is really good because we don't know who's going to be there and who's not. So I'm excited at this point because it's going to be fun.
It is, and I'm looking forward to it. You've been listening to The Expressway with the BT Express, Billy Taylor and Charles Show Me the Way. We are here each and every Wednesday from 10:15 on alumnimedia.com. Check us out each and every Friday on YouTube at 9 a.m. throughout the day. Check us out anytime on your demand. But we'll be right back with our picks in a minute. And welcome back to the Expressway. And thank you for joining us on another great and amazing show. You're checking us out here each and every Wednesday from 10:15 to 11:15 on alumnimedia.com. Check us each and every week on alumnimedia.com. Also, if you don't catch the show live streaming on alumnimedia.com, you can always check us beginning on Fridays at 9 a.m. each and every Friday at 9 a.m. Now, BT, we got our picks. I know you, last week's picks, You beat me by two games because we had some of the same teams. I don't know why I picked the Jets versus the Dolphins. I don't know what I was drinking at that time, but I did. I won't make the same mistake again this week. Oh, and before we get to our picks, you remember that little over-under bet that Vegas had that the Jets would win 7.5 games?
Yep.
I don't think they're going to make 7.5 games.
So they got seven with, wait, 5 with 3 to go?
They got 5 with 3 to go.
Oh, man.
They have to win all three, and that's not happening.
Yeah, but see, their defense is good enough to win. If I was a defensive player on the Jets, I don't know what I would do because, you know, it's a team game, but the offense is not doing its part. That's hurting the defense.
I know. And think about this. That they made that bet. That line was, what, at week 6, week 8? They had like 8 or 9 more games left, and yep. They have only won one game since we started talking about that. And that's bad.
I think that happened last year, too, because they lost the last 6 in a row when they had a chance for the playoffs. And like I said, they brought Zach Wilson back anyway after he lost 7 in a row last year. So I think Aaron Rodgers had a lot to do with him staying. He should thank Aaron for allowing him to stay.
That's right. So let's get into the picks. We got Thursday night game tomorrow, the Saints versus the Rams. This is going to be a great game. This is actually going to go up against a good offense versus a good defense. I'm curious to see what happens. They're playing in Los Angeles. I'm going with the Rams. I believe what Coach McVay is doing out there, Sean McVay is doing in L.A., I'm going with the Rams.
I'm going with the Rams also because they're playing extremely well. Their defense is beginning to come on. They're getting people back. The guy Cope, wide receiver, he's caught like something like 28 passes in the last so many weeks, and he's definitely – a big part of it. So I'm going with the Rams also.
Next game, Bengals versus Steelers. This should be an easy pick game because Bengals have been playing well. But you know what? People are getting on Mike Tomlin saying that he should be fired because it's not the same Steeler nation. The culture has changed. I don't see what.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
Somebody must be looking at something I'm not seeing because they don't have great talent on their team, and he's doing an amazing job to keep them in games, to keep them in the playoff hunt because they're still in the playoff hunt. I don't understand why Mike Tomlin is getting such a bad rep. I'm still going with the Bengals.
I'm going with the Bengals also because their backup quarterback has done a good job. The thing about the Steelers is that I agree with you, no talent on offense, no quarterback. Trubisky is just pathetic. He's out there with Mike Glenn, and let's see, he can run a little bit better than him. So I just think the Steelers and Mike Tomlin, they're in trouble. But Tomlin's with a great organization where they not have a habit of firing coaches. So if he gets through this year, he'll be all right.
Next game is Bills Chargers. Nothing else needs to be said. Chargers are awful. I'm going with the Bills.
Oh, we're both going with the Bills. I think the Bills are playing some of the best in football. In the next couple weeks, they got to win.
Next game is Colts Falcons. This is a tough game. Obviously, you got the AFC South, NFC South. Both divisions are just equally as bad. Both teams need to win. They're playing in Atlanta. Actually, the Falcons have, you know, I've never picked the Falcons. I'm going to pick the Falcons this week.
I'm going with the Colts this week because I just think that they're playing extremely well and that they are getting used to winning. And once you get that winning thing in your blood, I think it's hard to defeat you. And they got a team like the Falcons that are coming, that are having a great running game, but Colts got to go in there and win, and that's what I'm going. So I'm going with the Colts. You're going with the Falcons.
Yeah. Packers versus the Panthers. Panthers got their second win last week. They're in Carolina again. It won't be a lot of crowd noise because not a lot of people are coming to the games. I'm going to go with the Packers.
I don't like the Packers, but I don't like the Panthers at all anyway. The Panthers won their second game last week. They were lucky to do so. I'm going with the Packers because – that's the least of the worries. They played badly against the Giants, and I thought that the Giants probably let one, you know, the Packers let it slip away when they should have beat the Giants. So we're both going with the Packers.
Now, this next game should be a good game. The Browns versus the Texans. They're playing in Houston. Texans continue. They need to win the last three games. Browns need to win the games as well. Browns have been playing well with Joe Flacco at quarterback. Go figure, Joe Flacco, an unmobile quarterback. Obviously, they're doing a lot of their damage with the run game. He's doing just enough to be good. I think the Texans have a chance to beat the Browns this week. I'm going with the Texans.
I like the Texans. I really do. I love their coach. And even before he got there, Lovie Smith did a good job last year. I didn't think he deserved to be fired. I'm going with the Texans only because they got momentum. They got a good defense. And even if the quarterback doesn't come back, their backup quarterback did a good job. So we're both going with the Texans.
Lions versus the Vikings. This is a tough game because it's the NFC Central game. This is probably one of the games of the week. It's hard. They're playing in Minnesota. Minnesota is always a tough place to play. They have to win. Lions haven't been as good as they were at the beginning of the season. This will be a telltale sign if the Lions are real, if they beat the Vikings. But I don't think they're going to beat the Vikings. I'm going with the Vikings.
I'm going with the Lions only because they got to win. The Vikings don't have a good quarterback situation. So you're going with the Vikings. I'm going with the Lions only because the Lions have to win and their backs are against the wall.
This is the poor man's toilet bowl of the week. Commanders versus the Jets. It's a pick'em game. I'm gonna go with the Jets because I'm gonna stick with the New York team.
Well, the Commanders are pathetic. They're gonna fire Rivera, the coach, after the season. They got new ownership up there. They changed the name three times from the Redskins to something else to the Commanders. I'm going with the Jets also, and I kind of hate to do that, but then the Commanders are the worst of the two, so we're both going with the Jets.
We got the Seahawks versus the Titans. The Seahawks are coming off an amazing, amazing, amazing win against the Eagles.
Yep.
I think they're going to continue to ride that momentum, even though they're playing in Tennessee. Tennessee's coming off of a hard, tough loss. I'm going with the Seahawks.
I'm going to go with the Tennessee Titans on this one because they played decently at home. And if they get Derrick Henry going against Seattle, they can do a good job. So you're going with the Seattle, and I'm going with the Titans.
Jaguars, Buccaneers, this is another great game. AFC, NFC South, two division leaders. I just don't know. You know I'm a Baker Mayfield. I'm going to go with the Bucs again. I'm a roll Tampa. I'm a roll on Tampa side, even though I think Jacksonville will have a good chance of beating them.
I'm going with the Jaguars only because Trevor Lawrence has shown me something as a quarterback, that he can make the adjustment during the course of the game. I don't know if Baker Mayfield can make any adjustments. So I'm going with the Jaguars. You're going with the Bucs.
All right. Our next game, Cardinals and Bears. You got two quarterbacks. Kyler Murray actually had a pretty decent game last week. Justin Fields has been playing really well as of late. A question for the Bears is, do you look for a quarterback in the draft? I think he's showing a lot of improvement over the past few weeks. They're putting up a lot of points over the last few weeks. I'm going to go with the Bears because they're playing in Chicago, cold weather. I don't think Arizona is ready for that. But my question before you pick this game, does Eberflus or Eberflus save his job because of the way Justin Fields has been performing over the past 4 or 5 weeks?
I think they got to win these next 2 out of 3, the Bears do, in order to save his job, because their offense has been putrid. It's been ridiculous. You got a good quarterback. They're not putting him in a position to win. He is a good quarterback. So I'm gonna go with the Cards. You're going with the Bears. And we will see if the weather has anything to do with it.
Yeah. And my question is, did you see the last Hail Mary play?
Yep. Wasn't that ridiculous? The guy should have had it.
And he dropped it.
Two people should have had it. You know, the ball was right in both his hands. He was laying on the ground.
I know, it's tough.
I don't understand that.
So here's our second game of the week is the Cowboys versus the Dolphins. This is a prove me game. Yep. You're playing in Miami. Is Miami legit, right? And are the Cowboys legit? This is going to tell the bettors, their fan base, are they for real? You know, I'm going to go with the Dolphins. I'm believing what they're selling. So I'm going to go with the Dolphins over the Cowboys. I don't think the Cowboys can win this week just because, even though they had a terrible loss and have to come back, I'm going to go with the Dolphins.
I'm going to go with the Dolphins also, but only because I've never been a Cowboy fan and I hate to go with them. And I think the Dolphins, the only thing that scares me is Tua's a sitting rock in the pocket. If he sits against the Cowboys, he's going to take a beating. So that's the only thing that scares me. But if he can get the ball off and they can get Ty Hill back, I think they got a chance, because even Waddy showed me something last week, Miami against the Jets. They got a decent running game. Their defense is not bad. So if they can get off early, then they got a chance to beat the Cowboys. So we're both going with the Dolphins.
Patriots, Broncos, I'm going with the Broncos.
I'm going with the Broncos also. And I feel bad about Bill, but he'll get another job and he's still rich.
Next game, Raiders versus the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs need to win this game. They're playing in Arrowhead Stadium. I'm going with the Chiefs.
Well, Chiefs have to win if they're going to make it to the playoffs. I don't think they have a chance at home field advantage, but if they can get in the playoffs, they can be dangerous. So we're both going with the Chiefs.
Giants, Eagles, this isn't a question. Given how bad they're playing in Philly as well, given how bad they need to win, I'm going with Philly.
Well, I'm going with the Philly too, because the people are down on them a little bit. Anytime you lose 3 in a row, even if you're leading the division, the Philadelphia fans are not happy. And so I just think that the Giants with DeVito are not the same team that we want to be. Just to review, Charles, we're both going with the Saints and the Rams. We're both going with the Bengals over the Steelers. We're both going with the Bills over the Chargers. You got the Falcons. I have the Colts. We both going the Packers over the Panthers. We're both going to Texans over the Browns. Charles, you have Seattle. I got the Titans. The Commanders and the Jets, we both have the Jets. Lions and Vikings, I have the Lions. You have the Vikings. The Jaguars and the Bucks, you have the Bucks. I got the Jaguars. The Cowboys and the Dolphins, we both have them. The Pats and the Broncos, we both have them. The Raiders and the Chiefs, we both have them. The Giants and the Eagles, we both have them. And the Monday night game between the Ravens and the 49ers, who did you pick?
Yeah, I'm going with I'm picking the 49ers because if you know what, Lamar Jackson will prove a lot to me if they win this game. That's all I got to say.
Well, San Francisco coming in on a roll, and if Baltimore can get an equal to them, this could be a pre-Super Bowl game.
Can I say this?
Go ahead.
If the Ravens win this game, Lamar Jackson should be the MVP of the league.
I'm gonna write that down because you're gonna forget you said it.
If the Ravens win this game, he should be there. I'm going with the 49ers, but if the Ravens win this game, He should be the MVP of the league.
All right, well, that's our show for today, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you enjoyed it. Charles Way, Billy Taylor, we're on Friday mornings at 9 a.m. on YouTube. And we come on every Wednesday live about 10:15, 10:30. And I got to thank Dennis and Ben back at the studio. They make Charles and I sound good. So happy holiday to everybody. Hope you have a good holiday. Get your shopping in. For Charles Way, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Billy Taylor. Have a good week.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia.